Dear Father, Lord, I pray now that as we come to your word, to God, that we would recognize just who is speaking to us. We'd recognize your word, its power. And Lord, that now that we would open our hearts and open our ears to what you would have for us because of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would use this in our hearts and lives for your honor and your glory. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if you will, take your Bibles with me this morning. Open them to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As we are working towards finishing this series through the book of 2 Thessalonians, a book that deals with several subjects that really are appropriate for our day and time. But as we turn to chapter 3, we see Paul has a very directed close prepared for the Thessalonians in this chapter. You know, without preparation, growing can be painful. If we aren't really prepared for it, growing can really bring about certain pains in different aspects of our lives. And in fact, growing up experiences physically. As in our family, me and my brothers seem to have some height, and so between my 7th and 8th grade years, I began to shoot up. I had that growth spurt, and it didn't seem like the tendons in my knees were quite ready for it, and so they didn't grow as fast as the bones, and this is called the Osgood Schlatter. And it's where the patella tendon doesn't grow as fast as the bones. And so there's pain, it hurts, you're always sore. And going through this, and some of you have probably experienced this as well, it wasn't prepared for the growth. Sometimes when we jump into something and we aren't prepared for it, there is some pain. And so as Paul is coming to this part of this letter where he is going to be teaching some application, where he has some commands for the Thessalonians, he begins this section by preparing them. By preparing them for this growth. That's why I've entitled this message, Ready, Set, Grow. Because Paul is really preparing them for these areas that he wants them to get better. You see, he didn't just jump into the application. He is being very thoughtful in his approach and how they should grow. And I pray that we don't miss this. Because it could be very easy to take these five verses and just kind of see them as this prayer and kind of work into the commands. Because the commands are easy for us to work with. Because the commands tell us those exact things that we should do. So when we see him in Scripture, it's very easy for us to apply it. But I don't want us to miss what he's doing here in preparing them for growth. Because too many times we come to church not ready to grow. Not ready for what God really wants to do in our heart and lives. You see, I hope and pray that every Sunday that you understand what's happening. That every Sunday that we're here, when we come to this point of the service, that you understand what is happening, because there's a simple phrase that we use every week that I pray you take notice of from now on. Because every Sunday when we stand here and we begin to come to the message, the phrase is, open your Bible. Open your Bibles. Because we are preparing ourselves to grow from the Word of God. And what we do right now in this time frame, this isn't a frenzy of man's opinions. It behooves me not to stand here and just give you philosophies of my life and what I think should happen. You don't care about that. You don't care about the frenzy of man's opinions. You don't care about the course of man's philosophies. This isn't just a conglomeration of man's quotes. What we are doing right now is we are opening up the Word of God. We are opening up the inspired truths from the Word of God, and we are working through it so that we can grow right now to know how to live out there. It seems right now that you have to have a thought and opinion about everything. And if you don't put a thought or an opinion out there, you aren't reacting properly. My friends, right now, and in this time, and what we're doing when we are opening the Word of God, should be a time that we are preparing and growing ourselves so we know how to act out there. And maybe if we got a little bit more involved in this time, our world would be changed out there. And Paul is bringing about this growth in the Thessalonians, and he is coming preparing them so that they would grow. You see, if we're going to see a change in spiritual growth, it begins with a change in spiritual posture. If you are going to grow spiritually, it's going to happen when you change your spiritual posture to say, God, what do you have for me today? And it doesn't matter where we are on our spiritual journey. It doesn't matter how much you think you know. It doesn't matter how little you think you know. We are all in this spiritual journey to come to open up our hearts and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Where is our spiritual posture? Because Paul, in these five verses, is preparing the Thessalonians to hear the command that he's about to give them. And I'll give you a little bit of a peek. He's about to tell them, you need to get to work and quit being idle. He's going to tell them it's better for you to work. And if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Man, that verse was just burned into my head by my dad growing up. You want to eat? Better get to work. He's about to get with them on some commands. But before he does that, he is preparing them. He's wanting them to change their spiritual direction, change their spiritual posture. And listen, folks, it's easy when you come to church week in and week out to sit here in a routine, to sit here and say, you know what, I've heard this, I've heard that, I've heard these different things. And it's very easy for our spiritual posture to change. And it's very easy to sit there and say, well, you know what? I really don't like the message this week, or I don't really like the direction this week. And even if we're out there online, there's about a dime a dozen worth of services you can be tuning into right now. And there's a whole lot better preachers than me. But one thing I want us to do in this church, at Touthy Baptist Church, is be prepared by the Word of God when it comes to this time. That I pray when you sit here and we come to this point and you hear, open your Bibles, you begin to sense in your life, now is the time I need to see the Word of God and I need to change a spiritual posture. Because folks, we need more time to grow. We need more time to grow. We need more time in the Word of God so that there might be a better morality, so that there might be a better biblical literacy, that we might actually know what the Word of God says, so that we might be able to interpret it properly. Because there is a lot of people that can take one little verse out of Scripture and make it mean what they want to mean. But we need to understand it. We need to know the literacy of it. We need to know the interpretation of it. We need to know how to apply it. We need more time to learn how to put the Word of God into our life. We need more time to learn how to actualize it. And to get there, we've got to prepare. It starts with changing our spiritual posture. Breaking down those walls in our heart and say, Lord, what would you have for me out of the Word today? I want you to see how God prepared, or Paul prepares the Thessalonians here in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. And that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Here we see Paul is thinking about what he's about to address with the Thessalonians. In verses 6 through 17, we are going to see those commands that there's a change that needs to happen. Here is something that they need to get better. But before he gets there, before he gets to that action-heavy section, he begins to appeal to their spiritual posture. Their disposition for growth. Listen, true spiritual growth is not going to happen for those who are hardened to it. You have to be positioned to be teachable. You have to prepare to grow. You've got to prepare for where you are going. Hayden's in for a rude awakening. I'm going to let him know right now. Because he hasn't been preparing stamina for when football comes around here. And if he's not preparing, there's going to be a rude awakening when them coaches start up. If he's not prepared to grow. I'm doing that so he wakes up right now. I remember, you know, growing up, when it was time to go on vacation, that meant we stocked up on Mountain Dew and paper towels. Because you know how it is. When you're going on a road trip and a long trip, there were certain things you had to have. My mom would stock up on Mountain Dew and paper towels for the car. She'd have her big old Atlas, right? So the Rand McNally Atlas, she'd have it in there. And the Mountain Dew, the more the Mountain Dews, the farther we had to go. My dad would get, you remember when CD players first came out in cars and they had CD changers in the back, you know, and you couldn't just get to a song immediately. You had to have 10 CDs preloaded in the back. We had Ray Stevens, Marty Robbins, Patsy Cline, and the Everly Brothers preloaded in the CD changer. Nothing like listening to Ray Stevens sing the Mississippi Squirrel Revival and then go to Marty Robbins in El Paso. But that was all preparation for the vacation because of where we were going. We were preparing for where we are going. Same is true with us in our lives with the Word of God. If we know that there is a spiritual goal that we're working towards, we have to prepare to get there. And so Paul is wanting them to change their spiritual posture towards spiritual growth. And so he emphasizes three things in this passage. And there's really these sections that he's talking about here. The first thing that he emphasizes to change their spiritual growth is to run with God's word. Run with God's word. As he starts there in verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Paul begins in this section and he starts kind of in a subtle way. He starts by saying, we see this key term, finally. It tells us that Paul is transitioning to the application portion of his book. He would spend the first part of his letters teaching and doctrine and going over these different things. And then the final half he would spend in application. And so we see this transition. Finally, brothers, it's a marker for Paul that you're about to experience what Paul is wanting you to apply. And as he's subtly getting into this, He says, pray for us. He calls for intercessory prayer. He says, pray for us. And notice what this prayer is directed at. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. He's giving us these reasons of why we should pray for them. The first reason is that the word of God would spread. He uses a term there, may speed ahead. The idea is of running swiftly. It's an idea of spreading. Paul's saying, pray for us so that the word would spread. So he's kind of subtly drawing the Thessalonians into his direction. Pray for us, brothers and sisters. Pray for us in this ministry because we want the word of God to spread. Pray for us that the word of God would get out. Think about what is subtly being asked there. Pray that the word of God spreads. Pray that it runs and it goes forth and it is honored. Pray that you listen to the word of God. Pray that you hear it. Pray that it's going forth. Because notice what he combines that speeding ahead with. Pray that it is speeds ahead and it is honored. It's not just to be spread, but to be honored. It's to be listened to. It's to be heeded. It's to be obeyed and applied. This is the essence of James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because it's very easy to get this spiritual high horse because we've heard a lot of things, but we aren't doing them. And so we have deceived ourselves because we have heard a lot of things and we can look the part, but we aren't doing the part. He says, I want you to not only hear it, I want the word of God to be spreading out, but I wasn't also to be honored. I want you to be doing these things and putting these things into practice in your life. And then notice the second reason he is asking them to pray for him. In verse 2, he says, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. Not only is he wanting to see the word of God spread and honored and listened to and obeyed, but he is saying we want to be delivered from wicked and evil men. How is that happening? By the spread of the word of God. That through the word of God, we see a barrier. Why? Because for not all have faith. You know, it should not be surprising to us that we have an adversary. That we have people against these views. We have people against the word of God. He's saying, pray for us that the word of God would spread, that it would be honored, and pray for us. Because through that, we will find a protection against the wicked and evil men. Because not everybody sees the same thing. Not everybody believes this way. There is an enemy, an adversary. So if we're going to change our spiritual posture, it starts with running with the word of God. Because the word of God is the antidote for anti. The word of God is the antidote for anti, because through the word of God, we get to learn the doctrines. Through the word of God, we get to learn the theology. Through the word of God, we get to learn what Jesus taught and said. We get to see his word. Through the word of God, we get to see how to stand against those that stand against. The shield of faith against the fiery darts. Here we have it through the word of God. Listen, this is what Jesus said when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness to turn those stones into bread after this 40 days of fasting. Just turn these stones into bread. No one's looking. Feed yourself. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That it is the word of God that feeds our souls. That it's the word of God that is an antidote for all the opposition, for all that we see. And here we have the opportunity to run with it. prepping to grow starts with placing the Word of God in a place of prominence. Let it run in you. Let it be honored. Paul even says this is why it's successful. He says, look, you have let the Word of God speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. This is a reference back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He said, from you sounded forth the Word of God. From you came the Word of God, and your testimony has gone all throughout Macedonia that the Word of God has spread because it has come out of your life. Let the Word of God run in you so that it runs out on those around you. Let it be that which happens among you. Run with the Word of God in such a way that those around you will be touched by its truths. Let it be natural in your life, not just picked up when it's convenient, but it's a part of who you are in running with the Word of God. Changing your spiritual posture includes running with God's Word, and secondly, it includes relying on God's character. Rely on God's character. Notice verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, to experience spiritual growth, Paul is pointing out here a key contrast that highlights God's character. Because something interesting is happening in the text. At the end of verse 2, remember who he just referenced. For not all have faith. Verse 3, that sentence actually begins with the exact same word. In the Greek, it ends with not all have faith. And then this next sentence, faithful, however, is the Lord. And so you see a word picture that Paul is showing here. Listen, not all have faith, but faithful is the Lord. The emphasis is on the contrast of the Lord's character to that of the opposition. How easy is it when we are in a debate or when we are in a fight to get and stoop down to the level of the opposition? Paul is saying there are those that don't have faith. We're running with the Word of God. We want to see it honored. We want to see it lived out because not all have faith, but faithful, however, is the Lord. Stay with His character. Stay with His teaching. Stay with His design. Because He is faithful. The Lord is the unchanging. The Lord is our rock. And He will then strengthen and protect. Because focusing on God's character allows us to not be shifted when the uncertainty hits. He says, He will establish you. This is the idea of strengthening. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will give you the strength to go through this. This is the meaning of Philippians 4:13, which is a verse people love to just quote out of midair and not understand its context. And I've talked to you about this before, of how people take, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and believe it's like Popeye arms, right? That they open the can of spinach and all of a sudden Jesus Christ just gives them strength to go out and just beat up the enemy. Do you like my Popeye motion there, right? That all of a sudden Christ just gives me the strength out of nowhere, and I can tell you that's not what that verse is meaning. That verse is in the middle of a context talking about contentment. That's saying that whether I'm high or whether I'm low, I can get through it because Christ is my strength. Because I'm content. That I can continue on in these different things because Christ is my strength. He will establish you. Then you will be on sure footing whether you're high or whether you're low, whether things are going great, whether things are going tough. He will establish you. That's what that relationship with Him does. That's what happens when we focus on His character. And not only that, He will guard you. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. This is the fact that God will protect. Listen to these words from Psalm 56. David says this, you have kept count of my tossings. put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Isn't that comforting? God knows your tears. You've kept track of my tossings. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David says, you can keep my soul. You can keep my feet. You can keep me through this. Psalm 56. In the middle of hard times, it's easy to bend our focus. But to see growth, keep your focus on the character of God. How do we know it? He revealed it. He showed us his character through his word. Not only that, but also his commands. When we see things like the Ten Commandments, we see a revelation of his character, of who he is. Folks, if we spent more time getting to know the character of God, if we spent more time in communion with him, it would have a lot, it'd be a lot easier to have the right morality. It'd be right easy to, it'd be easier to know how we should act rightly in this world. Because if we focus on that character of God and applying it, we would understand, thou shalt not murder. We would understand, thou shalt not bear false witness. We would understand, thou shalt not steal. We would understand, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We would understand, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. If we relied on the character of God, it'll change your morality. And so Paul is saying, listen, not all have faith, but the Lord, he's faithful. Rely on his character, his example. Who will be your example? And I'm here to tell you, folks, if a politician is more of an example to you than Jesus Christ, you need to change. That we need to let Jesus be our example. We need to rely on God's character and focus on him. Change the spiritual posture. Run with God's word. Rely on God's character. And thirdly, reiterate God's work. In verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we have commanded here. Here, Paul is emphasizing the confidence he has in God's work. He says, I am confident in the Lord. I'm confident in the Lord. He knows that God's at work and God's going to complete what he's doing. A lot of times we like to be more blaming of what God is actually doing for our positive. He is confident in the Lord. He's confident that he's going to accomplish his work. And what is that work? He says, I'm confident in the Lord about you. He says, I'm confident about how you're going to respond. Here is a positive reinforcement. I am confident that the Lord's going to work and he's going to do so in you. And you are going to be the type of people that respond to it. That you are the ones who are doing and you will do the things that we command. He says, I know you're going to do the right thing, and I know you will do the right thing. He kind of subtly here applies some pressure to live up to the praise. He says, I know that you're the type of people that here, I'm about to command you what you need to be doing, and you're the type of people, you hear this, you're going to do it. You're the type of person that's going to respond to this. And so there is this pressure to listen and apply. Paul is setting the target of follow through. Knowing God is working on us, we should live up to our end of that bargain. That we should listen, that we should obey, that we should follow through. Listen, what God does in our life doesn't allow us just to continue on unchanged. What God does through grace in our life is not a crutch to live the way that we want to live. God's grace in our life is a guide to teach us how to live going forward. It's a guide to show us how to walk through all of this, that we should use God's grace to love and live for Him more. And God is working in our lives to see that follow through. That I know that you're the type of people that will do this, and you will do these commands. You know, changing our spiritual posture for spiritual growth means that we take these things that Paul is emphasizing, run with the Word of God. Let's see it spread. Let's see it honored. Let's rely on the character of God. He is faithful. Let's reiterate, God's going to do this work. We have confidence in the Lord. He's going to do this, and that we're going to be the type of people to do His commands. What Paul is doing is preparing this church to grow through the actions he's about to command them. And this is how to be successful in applying the Word of God. He is setting up a mental preparation so that they would grow and that they would grow to be something better. Something better. What we see in this passage is to reinforce for growth, not just survival. Reinforce for growth, not just for survival. Paul is taking this time right here to prepare them, to reinforce them, because he wants them to be better. I've got a command that we're about to go over. But before we do this, I want you to be thinking about the Word of God being honored. It's spreading. I want you to think about the character of God. He is faithful. He will establish you. He will guard you. I want you to think about His work and being the type of people that will do what He commands. I want to reinforce you so you will grow, so you will be something better. If we continue week after week taking in the Word of God and not changing and not applying it and not putting it to work, then we are missing God's work in our life. We are missing being better for Him. Because too often, we want just a word, we want a saying, we want just something to help us get through. Help us get through this week. Help us just survive. And I want to tell you, Jesus didn't just rise from the dead for us just to survive. John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. So that we might be better. And He's setting them up for so much more. And so also should we be set up. Because in verse 5, this is what Paul says. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. He's now turned from an intercessory prayer to begin with, pray for us. Now he's praying for them. May the Lord direct your hearts. The word direct here means to make straight. My mom's a math teacher. She taught me in geometry. What is the shortest distance between two points? A straight line. And here in this word, this is the idea. Make straight. May the Lord direct. May He make straight your hearts, that shortest route to the love of God, that you might be directed to the fact that God loved you, that God died for you, that God is there for you. What can man do against Him? That God loves you. May He direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Four times in this passage, Paul has used the term the Lord. And this is Paul's term for directing us to Jesus Christ. If we want to change our spiritual posture needs to be changed to the person of Jesus Christ. It needs to be changed to who He is so that we can be something better. We prepare to grow. We do the hard work. We do the preparation. We do these things so that we can grow. It's not just about suffering. It's against the anvil that iron is sharpened. It's not just the why me, but it's the why not me. It's what can I learn? How can I grow? What can be produced in my life through all of this? How can I grow to something better? This is an opportunity as we look to the Word of God this morning to be reminded that we have to come to it prepared and be reinforced for growth for something better. This morning, will you stand with me? With your heads bowed. This morning, as we think of the Word, I want to ask you, how will you respond? How will you prepare today for a better tomorrow spiritually? How will you run with God's Word? How will you see it honored in your life? How will you respond to God's character? He is faithful. How will you allow God to work? This morning, I understand that there are many of you that spend time in the Word during the week. But for a lot of people out there, this 45 minutes might be the only time you spend in the Word of God during a week. Is that enough to grow closer to God? Do we truly believe that we're going to grow spiritually, that we're going to be better spiritually by investing only 45 minutes a week? Some of us are going to go from this place and spend more time on Facebook within the next hour. How much greater influence are the less meaningful means in teaching you, impacting you, changing you? How are we preparing for God to grow us, to change us? Do we want to see something better in this world? Do we want to see a revival? Do we want to see the change that is needed? Do we want to see the right morality? Then where is our posture towards God?